All right, Luke chapter 10, verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. We started to talk about joy yesterday, but joy is the word chara, C-H-A-R-A, this phonetic spelling. Let's just look at a few of the words about joy. The one thing that we determined yesterday is that John the Baptist said of joy. Well, let's go. John 3. John 3, verse 25. Starting verse 25. We already studied this, but I'm just going to do it briefly. Then there was a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, and the bride and the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly, because of the bridegroom's voice. This, my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. Now, joy, then, is a different thing than happiness. And it's a different, the joy of the scripture is a different thing than even what we would call joy in time and space. The joy of the scriptures is positional. Jesus said of the Holy Spirit, when he has come, he'll convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because I've gone to the Father. Now, fundamentally, that's the only place where you will ever find spiritual joy, is if you know he's gone to the Father, and you're in him, and he's in you. And that joy comes from that positional being outside of time and space. You can be happy about all kinds of stuff. But the joy that God speaks of, that's our inheritance, comes from the idea that we are seated with him on the mercy seat in the heavenlies. That's the true meaning of joy. And everything else, you can have fun and do blah blah, and even you can even get some charge in a rock concert, but that's not the joy of God. All right? Okay, so let's go now to 1 Peter 1:6.
Where are we going now? I'm taking this.
1 Peter. Starting verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us, again, or actually what it says, hath begotten us from above unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to receive an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept or garrisoned by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing or the revelation of, or presence of Jesus Christ. Now, we've talked about this many times. Faith is a dime a dozen. I mean, faith is as common as breathing. But faith is meaningless unless it's been tested by tribulation. And so that's why that the trial of faith is more precious than gold. Faith is meaningless because, I mean, what we think about faith. And we live by the faith of Christ because the our faith would fail at the first tribulation. Going on then. Whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And this joy all has to do with this idea of presence, the idea of your first love, the idea of in Revelation when he says, I have somewhat against you, he said he did these good things, but I have somewhat against you because you've lost your first love. And that first love is always his sense of presence. All right, now let's go down to, well, that's it. Let's go to Second Corinthians chapter 7. And just so you don't forget, remember we're studying joy. Let's see what else joy is connected with here. Let's start in chapter 6, verse 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as it is God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And remember the word perfecting here is testing. Everything in time and space is antagonism. There is nothing in time and space whose purpose isn't to antagonize the seed or the life or the perfect will of God, which is Christ in you. Glory. So that antagonism is the trial of faith, to see if anything can cause you to lean on your own arm of understanding, return to the world, return to cause and effect. So you and I promise you, he'll always push you to the edge where it seems like there is no hope. And then the test is whether you find the life of your own hand or whether you wait. Whether you walk in the sparks that you have kindled or you wait for his light. It's all about waiting. Amen? All right. That's that's not where we're, that was all a preamble. Verse 2, receive us as we have wronged no man, we have corrupted no man, we have defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that you are in our hearts to die and live with you. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying in you, or of you. I am filled with comfort, and I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. So joy has something to do with having passed the trial of faith, so that you're even joyful in the midst of the worst kind of tribulation that you can imagine. Amen?
That's kind of proof that, that he has, his life has nothing to do with this world and all of its aspects, including severe pain.
Amen. All right. Let's go to let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Well, let's start in verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we learned of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Long-suffering with joyfulness. We joy when something goes our way. Paul joyed in the midst of everything going wrong. Three times everybody left him. Can you see that joy is positional? We use the parable that, or the simile that, you, that, that this mystery is like us being in a different universe. That's our true self in eternity. It has nothing to do with this one, except this one's only purpose is to antagonize that mystery of Christ in you. Now, you can't know anything about that. You can't even understand what I'm talking about unless you know what it means to wait on God instead of leaning on your own arm of understanding. In the smallest details of your life, down to and including even if you have something to eat.
It's interesting. stresses it.
Yeah.
And when you're in the position, there is some magnitude of joy taking place. And it's the eternal.
Right. That it may do with any circumstance. In fact, the time is greatest when the circumstances are roughest.
Right. Black and whiteness.
All right, Hebrews 10.
It's funny to me, just I guess being aware of something coming back, and it's like everything that's being said is just huge, and yet we just kind of keep scooting right along, and it, some people would give their life to hear this, understand.
Amen. Verse 28. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much surer punishment, of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherein he was sanctified as an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of affliction, partly while you were made a gazing stock, both by reproach and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used. For you had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Now, the operative verse is verse 34. For you had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. What does that mean? You took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. Well, it means the loss of any of your physical property. It means the loss of the spoiling of your goods. It doesn't just mean the physicality, but it means the spoiling of your opinions, the spoiling of your stands, the spoiling of all things in which you possess. And that becomes a joyful. Took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. Can you take joyfully the spoiling of your goods? What?
I'm just having flashbacks of my first seeing of this when I worked with Sammy here at the restaurant, and all his goods were spoiled, and watching them go through the process of selling off everything they had just to live. I'm not sure they took it quite like this.
They didn't. I remember that.
But it was very picturesque, because I didn't have much. I'd already lost
enough of that. Everybody ought to have a little better understanding of joy.
But this totally is related to the position of joy. In that position,
you have no attachment to anything.
Lost.
All right. Let's go back to Luke chapter 10. Go to verse 17 now. Or we're still in 17, I should say. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And now we're going to verse 18. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Now, what the hell does that have to do with what they just said? He almost never responds when he responds. It never seemingly has nothing to do with what he's responding to. The 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He's questioning why they have joy. Well, let's look at what you're doing something, Gary.
I'm trying to wrap around this.
All right. Well, let's first we'll wrap around the idea, but let's talk about lightning. The lightning is astrape, A-S-T-R-A-P-E. It doesn't just mean lightning; it means any flash of light. So let's look at some of these. Let's look at go first to Matthew 24. I think this is where we're going to have to end with Matthew 24. But oh, Lord, 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 Lord. John verse 23. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ. And what he's saying, that word Christ there is, remember, is the anointing. Christ isn't Jesus' last name. Christ is the anointing. You got it? So if anyone says to you, Lo, come here, here's the anointing, which is all we hear in the charismatic circles these days. Lo, here's the anointing. It's down in Brownsville. It's up in Toronto. It's over in Kansas City. No, it's not. If somebody says unto you, Lo, here's the anointing, don't be deceived. What does it say? Believe it not. For there shall arise false anointings and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not therefore. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming or presence of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. But it doesn't say carcass, it says body. Wherever the body is, there the eagles will be. Now the point of all that is this. You don't go any place for the anointing. You stand wherever you are and wait. Now, can you imagine us? Okay, we're going to go hear this guy. Let's pretend we're at Christ for the Nations. To put it in some terms that everybody, especially Gary, can understand. Every day they had a different speaker, many times with a different philosophy, different. And so, boom, 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 boom. Oh, read this book, read that book. Here it says how to have good children. Here it says how, here's this, here's that. Here's how to be successful. That's what he's talking about. Don't pay any attention to any of that. Because Christ is already in you, the fullness of him in the form of Jesus, the Christ, is already your life. What more could you want? Lo, here's the Christ. No, there's the anointing. No, it's over here. Now, it's down to smaller things, too. If you can say that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, then wherever you are, you're planted. That's what we learned in the first part of the 70. Go not from house to house or place to place. Stay. For they went out from us, but they were not of us. For no, not if they had been of us, they would have continued. That doesn't mean they're believers or not. They were part, not part of that body, that section of this of the bride, that anointing of the bride in that form. Amen?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to keep an ace in the hole. I got this other plan. If this doesn't work, then I'm going to go do this. I used to be a regular speaker at the Religious Broadcasters Association for the first few years, but I was a believer because I was on television and radio all the time. And then, I think it's either 74 or 75, I can't remember. Anyway, I was asked to speak, and I spoke to the whole thing, and topic was taking the name of the Lord in vain. You've heard this before. I said, taking the name of the Lord in vain doesn't mean don't say God damn. It means putting his name or appellation or part of his name on anything that denigrates with time. And then I said, can you imagine, for instance, the Saul of Tarsus Evangelistic Association or Simon Peter's Bible University? Now, just about everybody in the audience had a ministry with their name on it. It was total silence in the auditorium. You literally couldn't put a pin drop. And I was never again asked to speak at an NRB convention. Because this is the crux of taking the name of the Lord in vain. I mean, it's... But anyway, the point of all this is the joy comes because of where we are. And the lightning, this first one about lightning was, you don't have to go over here or over there to see it because it's all everywhere. Just as the lightning flashes across the sky, it flashes, but it's not going away. All right. That's Lightning 101. Any other comments, responses, thoughts?
I think you like lightning.
Yeah, but it's
the moment dispelled, and you see clearly.
You have to think about the lightning that if it, that flash that didn't dim, that didn't go dim.
Mm-hmm.
All right, take it, big guy.